Good Friday afternoon, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. It's Friday, September 3rd, and we're heading into a Labor Day weekend. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who's having a great vacation along the Central California coast with his lovely wife, and he'll be back next week after the holiday. Bill is here live weekdays at noon, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, Bill likes to give a little love to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuadita Sun, Tucson Local Media, and Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Tom Murphy, the mayor of Sahuadita. We have a lot of ground to cover. If you have a question or comment, call us at 790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Mayor Murphy, great to have you.
Thank you very much. Great to be part of the B team, as we like to call it.
So. One day, Bill. I told Bill that, hey, the mayor wants to be interviewed by you sometime. But, you know, I live down there. I knew the issues. I think that's why he's comfortable having me have you as a guest. So you were up in Phoenix.
Yes, this week we had the Arizona League of Cities and Towns. And, you know, I try to go to these. And as you know, Dan, I was on the school board for many years, and they would have a similar program with the School Board Association. You try to bring back a couple of observations, couple takeaways, and it was educational, and it was good to network, get back to seeing some of other community leaders, hear what they're doing, and, you know, take some good things away from that.
Well, I can't think of anything more onerous than having to drive to Phoenix these days, but I'm sure it was worth it. What are people talking about?
Well, really the economic condition during pandemic and the various positions the towns are in, such as ours. And I have to say, Dan, talking with some others, you know, I just feel very blessed. I feel very blessed that I'm the mayor of Sahuadita. I'm very blessed how the residents take care of each other, and blessed on the financial condition our town is in. As you know, we have a lot of exciting growth going on. I was talking to my newest council member up there because it was her first time going to these various breakout sessions, and she told me last night, she just said, you know, I just feel we're in a really good position as a town, and I would agree with that sentiment.
Well, and I moved to Sahuadita in January of 2009, and things were kind of swirling and heading into the toilet economically, but the town had really positioned itself to be able to take a huge blow like that and actually came out on the other end really largely unscathed. As I recall, you and I have talked before, we laid off maybe one worker. It was a building inspector. There was nothing to inspect. And other than that, that's it. Are we getting a sense, though, from the other towns that we are going to be hitting some economic difficulties in the next months or years?
Well, I think it depends on the foundation of those particular towns. The ones that rely on tourism, I think they were feeling they were coming back. But now, you know, I think some of that area is slowing down. I was talking to a couple of people that were at the hotel we were staying at, and they said they're already hearing cancellations starting again for the big events coming through. But they also said that California is actually closing a lot of those events even earlier. So some are actually moving to Arizona to actually be able to hold the events. So I still think it's sort of a mixed bag. And certainly, again, the ones that are tied to tourism, which we're not as closely tied to, I think we'll be still feeling some of that pain for a while.
So the canceling of events is because of the uptick in numbers with COVID and maybe the new variants and just the unknown. Is that it?
Yes. That was the sentiment, that some organizations just didn't feel comfortable enough to come back, even though they had scheduled it. I know we've talked before. I don't think I would have thought we would be in this position. You know, obviously it's been because of the variant. I know the jobs report nationwide came in 2/3 off of what they thought they were going to be. But a lot of that, they said, with those reports were tied to the sectors that really are tied to tourism, you know, restaurants and those types of things. So I don't think we're out of it yet, but I think our town, as you know, about half of our town budget is carryover money. We could literally not bring a penny in from our general tax different sectors and still be able to run the town for a year based on that. Not that we'd want to do that, but we're in a very good position to weather the storm.
You know, it's interesting that almost a year ago, and I think it was on this show, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry said, yeah, I can see us dealing with this thing into 2022. And I thought, oh, that is an absurd statement. But here we are, you know, pushing toward that. And it looks like he was right. And at that time,
yeah,
I don't think
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I would have agreed with you, Dan, back then, that I would have never imagined that we might still be dealing with it into 2022. But we could be, at least to some degree.
Sure, and it is those variants. It's the things that were just, you know, what we weren't thinking of back then, and it seems like every day brings another curveball. Overall, however, the town of Sahuarita has experienced a lot of wins lately, and I want to talk first about the census results. It says that we now are a town of about 34,000, if I'm not mistaken, and that is quite an increase from the last census in 2010. Were you surprised by those numbers?
Well, we thought they would be good, but I think we were probably thinking they would land somewhere in the 32,000 to 33,000 residents, and you're correct. I think we're over 34,000. So that, I think we grew about 34% over that last 10-year trajectory, where we grew 790% from 2000 to 2010, which a lot of that is a factor that, you know, when we were incorporated in 1994, we only had 1,800 residents. So the multiplication factor obviously had something to do with that. But no, I think we're in a really good place. And, you know, I've always believed that growth is good from that perspective. But I also think we did a very good job working with our area stakeholders with our complete count census committee, because you only get to do this, as you know, once every 10 years.
Sure.
And it has a large factor in our population based on state shared revenue. So if you miss anybody, that's a 10-year loss of income from state shared revenue, which, as you know, is our pie for the state for incorporated cities and towns, is going to bump from 15 to 18% because of the flat tax the legislator put in place. So every person really did count, and we were tied for second in the state from that. And the only thing that was an arrow in my heart was Oro Valley was number one. I always losing to my area municipality.
But
congratulate Mayor Winfield and the team they put together.
Absolutely, yeah. But it was a great effort to get people out, because you convinced them that the numbers are tied to money that is going to be flowing into your community or not for the next 10 years. So somebody did actually a very good job on that.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I really appreciate the team, the stakeholder, nonprofits, private sector, the town, everybody really came together. And to include our STAC, our youth group, they did a video on how important it was that
yes.
they actually play down in San Antonio for the area census folks. So from young to
great.
Old, from La Posada to our youth group, we did a really good job getting the message out.
Well, still staying on the theme of growth, I have to take you back to a council meeting maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and I'm sitting there, and a woman says, basically, I'll paraphrase, "I'm here, now shut the gates. We don't want any more growth." And
right.
And now I've been here 12, almost 13 years, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I might be on board with that. It's a little selfish, but I'm here, now stop. Is growth always a good thing?
Well, I think if it's done, I do if it's done well, and I think that's one of the things that we've been trying to work on. As you know, during the Great Recession, most of our growth was in the residential housing area, which is, you know, to me, just one leg of a three-legged stool. We didn't have a lot of focus on retail, commercial growth, or job creation, and those are the three areas that I, you know, we've done, I think, a much better job over the last few years. So having working on multiple sectors of our community, I think growth is good. As you know, we don't have a property tax. We don't have impact fees. We don't charge for the business license. So when you're reliant on local sales tax as well as our share of state shared revenue, I've always really had the philosophy, really, you grow or you perish in some ways. Now, at some point, you know, you're going to build out or, and you know, one of the things we're looking at is annexation to our east. We annexed La Posada recently. So I think good growth, but I think it has to be done well and touching on the multiple sectors of the community so you have the proper level of amenities and circulation, good roads, and you know, those types of things. So I think growth is good.
Well, and we had a new hospital within the last year. We'll talk about SamTech here in a moment. But if you ask your average resident, what is it that we're missing in Sahuarita? What I hear and what you probably hear, too, are these mid-level restaurants, you know, the Applebee's type things. And, of course, we do have some, but got a lot of fast food and more coming. But what does it take to start now attracting that type of business?
Well, I think it goes back to collaboration again, because most of the land, as you know, is owned by private landowners and developers. So they have individual relationships with different companies. The Crossing, you know, they have their connections. Rancho City would have theirs in various other areas. And as you know, we did a survey of our residents not too long ago, and trying to get what sectors, what types of restaurants, for instance, they wanted. And as you know, Chick-fil-A came in number one, so we were able to communicate that with the corporate folks. So I think, again, it's more of a collaboration. You know, we try to be business friendly, for lack of a better word, you know, have the process go as smoothly, easily, and cheaply as possible. But at the end of the day, it's really the private sector that drive in the market that really has those contacts. But we've done well, you know, with Arby's and Popeyes and other sectors, as you mentioned, the hospital, Grace Lutheran Child Learning Center came in. The food bank is under construction. So
sure.
I think to have a healthy community, you have to have all of these sectors be healthy as well. But you're right. That's probably my number one asked question is, why can't I have name the restaurant, fill it in? And I'm always thinking, well, if it was that easy, I would just get on the telephone and call these folks. It's so much market driven. And back to your earlier question about growth, it really takes, you know, different types or amount of rooftops, right? A residential combination between Green Valley and Sahuarita, because there's a blending, as you know, of the line. And if you're reaching out to these folks, and that's why, again, the census count is so critical, if you're a community combined of 40,000, that's different than 50, and that's different than 60. And they all have their triggers on when they start looking at the various communities based on rooftops. And also getting the message out with the continual travel, you know, from our friends in Mexico coming up I-19, in communicating that, you know, we're on a very good corridor for tourism travel coming from the south. So that's another part of the story that you try to communicate with these corporate partners.
Well, what's jolting is that if you look at Green Valley's numbers, I think their population officially is 21,000. We know that it's closer to 30 because a lot of people in Green Valley are just there part of the year, but Green Valley is very important to them. But they file with the census probably back in, you know, Minnesota and
Michigan,
sure.
And Oregon. Right? You're actually absolutely correct, and they are very vital to our economy. I know, you know, when we were having a lot of folks driving out of the community to work, you know, we had a lot of tax leakage, which we identified a number of years ago. And for a lot of our restaurants, during the summer, it really, you know, was up to the Green Valley folks. You didn't have a large lunch crowd. when folks were working out of the community or just working in general. So I think we're very fortunate that we have a very balanced age demographic between retirees, and as you know, our average age and salaried is 34.
Right.
So a lot of those folks, you know, aren't going out for lunch locally every single day, but more so, as you know, with the hospital coming in and the library is opening. I'm very excited about that, and I'll touch on that later next week. Those are the folks that could pop out and, you know, grab lunch. So that really plays well and helps our lunch crowd for our various restaurants to attract more in the future.
Definitely. We are with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy in our Friday Focus interview. And just before our break is Bill's favorite time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, the place everybody's talking about. And Mayor Murphy has promised to get us one in Sahuarita. Is that correct?
I promised I was going to bring you one.
Oh, that's what it was. But we'll take a franchise, too.
I promise I will work on that for you. Absolutely.
That's all I can ask for. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, open for breakfast and lunch with indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickups are welcome. Mona's, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer sitting in for Bill. I'm with Sarita Mayer, Tom Murphy. And Tom, earlier I mentioned Samtech. Can you tell us what it is? And hey, we got a tenant.
Yeah, absolutely. I was breaking out the champagne, figuratively, last council meeting. And it's Sarita Mayer's Manufacturing Technology Center. It was an effort, a collaborative effort again. We received a $3 million EDD grant from federal government, as well as from the town put in some money, and Freeport, you know, one of our good partners in our area that always contributes back to the community. So it was about a $4.5 million project. We completed it, I think, September 2020, and we landed our first tenant there. It's about 32,000 square feet, and they took about 8,000. One of the requirements of doing this EDA grant is that it had to be a multi-tenant, at least two tenants that would have to go in there. Saguaro Solar, started by two local folks in the area when Tesla left Arizona. So they focus on residential and commercial solar in our area. So we're very excited about it. And going back to that collaboration and good stakeholder partnerships, they have something called the Giving Back Program, as well as they're a sponsor of My Veterans Passion, which is an Arizona nonprofit helping veterans with support of mental health and suicide prevention, which is always an ongoing problem for that. So it was just one of those great stories, great partners that not only will be bringing, I think they're starting with about 15 jobs, full-time equivalent, in our community, and then hopefully, you know, growing off of that. And again, you know, wanted to be a community partner, and we'll be helping, I'm sure, with some sponsorships and things for local activities. So it's just a really great tenant and a great story, I think.
Well, and I got to mention, one of the most exciting openings since I have been in that community will happen this next week. It is the new library, and the library system, of course, is under the direction of Pima County. This is something that the town of Sahuarita has wanted for a long time. We did have a library, but it was very small, and it was in a
1,200 square feet.
Yep, and now we have, almost 18,000?
17,700.
And they're calling it a library of the future, and I know you've been through it. We have a lot of photos online. Tell me what you saw when you went through there.
Yeah, no, I think it is. They have a lot of multi-purpose rooms. Of course, they'll have all the normal things that you and I remember growing up, except for probably that Dewey Decimal card file. They have that anymore.
All gone.
I remember. But they have study rooms. They're going to have rooms to help folks prepare resumes and do job searches. They're going to have a small outdoor performance center, where we can hold with a glass wall that opens up from the interior to the exterior. And it really was. And then they have, I'm not sure what they're doing with that, but they have a room that they call the name the next great thing or next big thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what that is. I teased it was my re-election, but they said it wasn't that. So it's a really great project. The architect, Line of Space, actually was awarded a regional project prize by an engineering news periodical for that. And as you know, again, back to, you know, a growing town, growing school district, 34 years of age, average age, that 1,200 square feet was just not adequate. But it was what I think allowed us to show the need by having it there. And Rancho Sarita was a great partner on that. They had leased it to the library for $1 a year for a number of years. And it's actually a little bit bigger than the Joyner Library down in Green Valley. So I think it'll take a lot of weight off of that library and then bring it up. So there's a lot of exciting opportunities. And being so close to the main campus, I would envision there could be even another JTED, Joint Technical Education District, possibility of library sciences or technician classes, you know, with our school district. as well as having pick-up and drop-off points for kids. I know they're going to do something along that area. So it's just, it's in the heart of our community, and I think it's going to be very well utilized as going forward. So we're very appreciative of the cooperation with the county to bring that to our community.
And how much say, because it is a county project, it's their money, their say, they get to pretty much do everything, but how much say did the town of Sahuarita get in the design of the new library, which really is kind of a community center of sorts?
Yes, and that's what I think the libraries of the future will be, you know, today and in the future, you know, whether it be, again, holding those education classes for helping people get a job or nonprofits, you know, holding meetings there. So you're correct. It was a county library project. They had boards down at Fiesta Sahuarita, and I know they put a couple of working groups together and took feedback. But at the end of the day, they really had the overall say-so on how they wanted it to be. And again, they took it because of the site planning. They took advantage of that opening of windows and the opening of those glass doors to the outdoor performance. So one of the things they pointed out, which I didn't catch, but I thought was really interesting, if you come out into that outdoor performance space, they have kind of a mid-size wall embankment, and that was to cut down on cars that were coming to park. So if they were coming from other schools, the headlights actually won't be shining in. Mm. And they also took some of the indoor air conditioning as it was exited out of the building. They have a couple of pipes that actually can somewhat cool that outdoor cooling space. So there was a lot of thought that was put into the design and the structure of that library.
Yeah, looking forward to getting inside there and taking a look. We've had a reporter in there, and it certainly looks terrific, and it was fun watching it go up. This summer, all of us have had to deal with an awful lot of rain, and I know in July and, again, a little bit in August, we had a lot of storm damage. At one point, you know, 40, 50, maybe 60 power poles down. The John Nolan, the chief of police, took me through that so I can get some video so we didn't have, you know, a bunch of looky-loos hanging around along La Cañada, which was really right. Hard hit. How did the town come through this?
Yeah, it was tough, and you're seeing it across the nation between Ida, all the way from Louisiana up to New England, where I grew up, and the wildfires and California. I think everybody, did really well, but it was a shock. I mean, I don't literally remember last year in Sahuarita. We had a little bit south of us and to the east in Corona, but I don't remember any rain last year. I mean, almost zero. And now we're pushing, I know you're tracking it, and we're either going to be at the all-time monsoon season for inches of rain or really close.
Very close.
Yeah, so we had 48 poles down within the town on Nogales Highway, and La Cañada, as you mentioned, got hit the worst. And hats off to our town staff, but TEP as well. We weren't without power very long, but I know you saw that one town home that literally her whole wall, two-story wall, just came straight away from the building.
Right. Right.
Which was very devastating. But we had our building inspectors, you know, got out to help her and make sure that it was structurally sound enough to get things out. Good Shepherd Church was willing to open their doors and hold people if anybody didn't have a place to stay. Fortunately, we are a very supportive community that wasn't needed. But last I had heard, nobody had gone there.
Right.
But it was tough. I mean, when you see these poles literally go down like matchsticks, and this was unusual because I was able to take a tour as well, that I've used to seeing over the years a pole maybe snapping in half, but some of these look like they exploded. You know, there were multiple places on these wooden poles that, you know, were broken. And the steel poles that, you know, were up, those didn't literally break, but the foundation, they toppled over from the foundation.
Right.
So it's a big deal, but we had reports of community residents coming up to the crews, both town and TEP, you know, and thanking them for their hard work and getting them back up as quickly as possible. So those are the days that, you know, really put a smile on my heart that, you know, the residents are grateful. And these are, you know, these have been tough times on top of, you know, the pandemic and all the things we're having. Then you're getting hit with these storms and losing power in the summer. That's never a good day.
No, not here. Okay, our thanks to Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy. We always learn something when you're on the show. I really appreciate you making the effort on your drive down from Phoenix.
My pleasure. It's always great, and I'll always be proud to be part of the B team.
So there we go. We're gonna do T-shirts. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, you too. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. You're always invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we return, we're going to launch into the Friday Roundtable with Dylan Smith. He's the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday Roundtable. We have Dylan Smith. He's editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've got the appropriate amount of coffee in my bloodstream today, so doing just fine.
That's great to hear. We were just talking to the mayor. I don't know if you heard a lot of that, but so much going on down in Sahuarita, and if it weren't for the storms, it would have been just about a perfect summer down there. So when are you going to move down?
I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at over here on the west side of Tucson. Looking out at these, you know, just right now, amazing green hills that surround us. It's just a...
Dylan, they're weeds.
Incredible.
They're weeds.
What a little bit of you know, rain can do to this. Maybe not quite, you know, the raging, you know, storms breaking things all everywhere, like, you know, that crazy thing you had with the power poles down there.
And
that's
if we
a little bit much, but having a nice monsoon, yeah, you know, is a whole lot better than what we had last year.
Oh man, which was what do they call that? The nonsoon. It certainly fits. So I would rather have this this year. And he was mentioning the woman whose the side of her townhouse fell over. It's a two-story home. I walked through that. I went up to her and I said, you know, I'm sure I'm the last person you want to see today, but can I poke around your house? And literally the block wall on the side of her house, she was on the end unit, obviously. It was a firewall, mm-hmm. just boom. I walked up and I thought I was looking at a block patio, and it was actually the wall, which just fell in one piece. It was pretty astounding. She was by far the worst hit, but a lot of other people lost like all the plants in their front yard and things like that. So it was quite a couple of weeks there. So
I think some roofers are going to be busy around this whole area for a couple of months to come, I think.
Absolutely. So we had a lot of news this week, and one of them is former Justice of the Peace Keith B. has pleaded guilty. It was a week ago today that he did that, to one charge of filing a false income tax return. He's facing potentially up to 10 months in prison. This is something we've been waiting for 3 years. He was indicted, Sunday will be 3 years ago that he was indicted. This thing took a while to play out. I know COVID was part of it, but this was a long time in coming. Were you surprised by the guilty plea? He was supposed to, by the way, face trial in September, and that's why we got the plea probably.
Surprised? No. Based on what we've been able to, you know, see from court documents, which don't always paint the fullest picture of things,
sure.
But, you know, this was a pretty nailed down investigation, it seemingly. And somebody doesn't plead guilty to potential time behind bars and paying, you know, what is it, close to $350,000 in restitution if, you know, but that's not exactly a minor thing. It's, you know, he's not getting off with a complete slap on the wrist with this.
No. And of course, he also faces a fine on top of that. And the restitution was what he managed to avoid in paying taxes and then the interest on that.
And then a $250,000 fine. Yeah.
Up to, yes. And so we'll see what that is at sentencing. They had him. And I remember last December when we were talking to his attorney who was asking for an extension here. He said, I have 86,000 documents to go through, 86,000. And I'm thinking, well, it's been over a year and a half. Where's your, you know, it's been over 2 years, yeah, actually, by that point.
Pretty much the takeaway here is don't run around buying a Porsche and multiple Corvettes, et cetera, and trying to write them off as a business expense.
Bad idea. But you know, he's not the first one. He's not the first one to think of that. But you just wonder. It's I don't know, greed, arrogance, whatever, ignorance, maybe a little bit of that too. So that is Keith.
Yeah, just, you know, buy a Camry or something normal.
You know, paid for. Those are my. That's what I look for in a car. What can I just pay for cash? So, that got him in trouble. So we'll find out how hard he is hit. The sentencing is in November. So, you and I were talking a little.
On my birthday, not that I'm looking for that for a birthday present.
Okay. But, anyway. Hey, Bill had me hosting a show on my birthday last Monday. So, you know, no one's above anything in this business. You know, you pretty much gave up everything when you decide
of course.
To serve. So, You and I were talking about the implications that this might have. Democrat Randy Freese is out of the Congressional District 2 race. That is the seat held by Ann Kirkpatrick, and she is not running again. There are three Democrats in the race now, Kirsten Engel and Daniel Hernandez, who both serve in the legislature, and then Marcus Urrea, who nobody knows anything about. So we at one point thought that Kirsten Engel and Randy Freese would kind of split some votes, and Daniel Hernandez would be the benefactor of that. That, of course, is not going to happen now. What are you thinking? He got into the race in March, and now he's out. He didn't last long, but he does have a little bit of money.
He was the leader in fundraising, at least as of the last filings, which run through the end of June, and managed to pull in quite a healthy campaign kitty, of which he didn't spend all that much. So as far as we know, he's still sitting on about $400,000 in cash, which, of course, is not enough for a full congressional race, but everybody keeps fundraising all the way through, and there's a year to go. But that it could be something that he could tip to, potentially support another candidate, or, he could put a little bit of that into running again for a seat in the state legislature himself. He hasn't quite said whether he intends to try and remain a state lawmaker. It's a big difference running for Congress in a district that's much, much bigger than a state legislative district while you're trying to hold down a job that these days is even more stressful than it normally is. He's a doctor, a surgeon,
yes,
and treating a lot of COVID patients. That was the public reasoning that he gave for pulling out, is that he's, focused on his obligations as a doctor right now.
And that was the odd thing, is that he did prove himself to be a fundraiser, which in the eyes of a lot of people is kind of the number one quality you're looking for. Can he pay for it? And he was doing that, but he's out, and we'll see what happens. Like you say, the primary, I believe, is August.
A very different race.
Oh, absolutely it is, and definitely one to look at. And they're kind of being quiet now. It's 11 months off. The primary is August 2nd. And next year, obviously, and we'll see how things play out. It's so early, I just flog myself over even talking
Engel's,
about this.
Kirsten Engel's already looking to leverage some of his support. She sent out a fundraising email this morning saying that they believed in so many of the same things. It was a complimentary message, trying to reel in some of the folks who were backing Randy Freese to get behind her.
Now, I mentioned that Marcus Urrea, who is kind of the unknown in the race for the Democrats, and that nobody knows anything about him. Am I accurate?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think he brought in
definitely way back in the fundraising. Everyone else had $500,000 raised, $400,000 raised, almost. Daniel Hernandez pulled in more than $250,000 thus far, and then you've got this other candidate who raised $2,600 and still had $1,000. So
exactly.
Way back in the gaining campaign traction.
Well. And the Republicans have their version of Marcus Urrea also in Marissa Mitchell. She is one of two Republicans in that same race. The other one is one, Cisco Mani, who we know from Governor Ducey's. He's an aide for him and works on Mexico relations. And he will definitely be a formidable opponent should he get through the Republican primary. But Marissa Mitchell, again, is one of those MIA-type candidates. The name's there, but we'll see if she actually ends up on the ballot. So, we're talking about it, and it's interesting, but it's going to be such a different story here come next year. So,
and you're right, that is kind of the first cut, as of, who gets it together enough to get their petitions signed and make sure that they are actually a candidate.
Exactly. So right now her name's on Ballotpedia, and that's really it. So Michelle, if you're out there, contact us. Pima County made an interesting decision without telling anybody this week. On Monday, on all of their job postings, something started appearing that said If we hire you, you have 30 days to either get or prove that you are vaccinated, or if you are promoted, you must also have the vaccine for COVID-19. Chuck Huckleberry had proposed something like this back in February. That's when he was initially talking about requiring employees be vaccinated. Yes, it's legal. There was an opinion from the Justice Department in, I believe, July that said, yes, this government entities and private can require workers to have this, or there's not a question of that. But there still is a sense that you're kind of being forced to do something that maybe you don't want to do. There is an out for medical and religious reasons. But what do you think of it overall?
Overall, that's something that will help keep people safe, whether they, you're just keeping you and your family safe from something that your coworkers might have. And plenty of government workers are out there interacting with the public all the time, which, both puts them at risk of who they might run into. They don't get to choose who they deal with throughout the course of their job. And, potentially they might turn into a vector and go around spreading it to other folks. It's, getting your shots is a good idea. There is a little bit of space for folks who have, firm religious or, proven health reasons that they can't go do this. It's kind of the county's taking a little bit of a small carrot and stick approach. This was a bigger step. It does not affect people who are already employed and are not trying to change jobs in the county.
Correct.
They get a little bit of an out. It's not a blanket order that everyone needs to go get their vaccinations right now.
Right.
And right now, the majority of county workers are already vaccinated,
right,
and have demonstrated that to the HR department. So, in the broad strokes, will this affect a great many people? Not so much, actually.
Yep, just new hires. We'll see. And we'll see later on this month as the County Board of Supervisors looks at what they call disincentive. So, Dylan Smith, the time goes way too fast, but that is going to wrap it up for our Friday roundtable. Thank you for being here and for all your good work at TucsonSentinel.com.
Well, thank you, sir. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you. We will be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village studio with Matt Russell to help you plan your long Labor Day weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next 3 days because of the long Labor Day weekend presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They are more than ready to welcome you back with open arms. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there's so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. You can get some social distancing in there if you need it, and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. And we've got Matt Russell on the line. How are you doing, Matt?
Well, I'm doing great. It's Friday. That means the weekend. Next question, please, Dan.
So you're always happy. Hey, you know, I think I've missed you the last couple of times here. You're out and about a lot.
Yeah, and I'm actually flying up to Nevada tomorrow to judge a big barbecue rib competition. So, the fun never stops.
Okay, very good. Well, we need a little fun. My wife and I actually planned a breakfast this morning to plan our three-day weekend, and unfortunately we ended up with, we should probably pull some weeds and go to a garage sale. I'm sure you can do better. Help us.
Why don't we start with Friday happy hour? I'm always on the lookout for great deals. Today I'm recommending Piazza Gavi on Kolb near Sunrise, because you can kind of sip and snack your way through Italy without breaking the banca. Step up to the bar and enjoy all kinds of great discounts on drinks. And here's the best part. You can get an entire cheese pizza for only $6. That is half the price of their signature pie. That is all about happy hour. The special starts in just 1 hour and goes all the way to 6 o'clock.
I'm going to call the wife right now. I think we have a better plan now. So what else we got going on?
Well, local craft butcher Ben Forbes of Forbes Meat Company, he's giving us all a way to spice up our Labor Day weekend grilling. I'm calling it Hatchapalooza, because fresh roasted Hatch chilies are in everything he's doing. He's got a lineup of Hatch chili burgers, pulled pork, Hatch chili pork kebabs, even Hatch chili pork and cheese sausages. All of these green things, get it, Dan?
I get it. I'm there.
All these green things are handmade at his shop, but they're only available through tomorrow at 6 o'clock down at Forbes Meat Company, downtown, right behind Thunder Canyon Brewing.
And I have heard about this one, by the way. And so we don't have to go to New Mexico to get Hatch chilies, is what you're telling me.
They are all over the place, and they are celebrating them in all of their grandeur at Forbes Meat Company.
Fantastic. And we just have another day to get in on your last deal here. What's going on?
Yeah, we sure do. You know, I love the summer road trip at Kingfisher. They create special menus throughout the summer inspired by the cuisine of really the most delicious regions in the country. Well, all good things must come to an end, though. And this year's summer road trip wraps up tomorrow night with their Down South menu. So if your doctor says you need more blackened frog legs in your diet, you are in luck. You can also get roasted chicken and andouille gumbo, cornmeal, catfish. Anywhere you go on this menu, Dan, you'll definitely get a little south in your mouth at Kingfisher on Grant near Tucson Boulevard.
Well, I got to tell you, okay, a little south, but hurricane not included, right?
Exactly. You got to pay extra for that.
We absolutely do not want that. We were talking earlier this week. We have a newspaper in Louisiana, in New Iberia, and they had that awful hurricane sweeping through there, and everyone's doing well. But I am on board for a trip there probably early next year. So I'm going to give you a call about what to hit.
Well, you know, that's where Tabasco is made, in New Iberia. So that is Tabasco country. Bring me back a couple of cases.
Very good. Well, thank you, Matt Russell. Always terrific to have you. And thanks for helping us plan our weekend. It's going to be a better one at the Shear household.
Absolutely, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. The Buckmaster Show radio program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to longtime Buckmaster assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. And we're always grateful for Bill to trust a few of us to be behind that microphone as he takes a few needed days off, and he certainly earns them. So, Bill, thank you. We hope you're having a great end to your trip. And for the rest of you, enjoy your Labor Day weekend.